First part of session 99. Let's talk here about balancing anger. Let's begin. In the previous session, we talked about personal material entirely. And now we're going to cover half of a session that is personal material, and about half is going to be information on the archetypical mind, coming back from the topics that we were discussing so far in the 90s sessions. So I usually don't read the commentary from book 5, but I'm going to do that today because there is some good information, especially from Jim, who is the one that we're going to read the question from, meaning that Jim asked Ra a question, and there is some insights in terms of Jim and how he felt. Remember that this was Jim about 10 years after, or even more, 14 years. So he has some interesting insights to offer in terms of the question that Jim asked, and that had to do with anger or frustration. So again, let's begin with the commentary in book 5, and then we're going to get into the personal questions. We're still going to cover this in two sessions or two episodes. So let's begin with this. And I'm just going to read it directly from the website where it is, and you can go in the description to the website. I have it linked there, so you can read if you want. So Jim says, most people would probably not have described the feeling of not quite being whole and in harmony, which our group experienced during the fall of 1982, as true disharmony. Yet as one moves further along the path of seeking light and begins to stand closer to it, as we were privileged to do in the raw contact, even the smallest of lapses of harmony, when left unresolved, can become targets of opportunity for those such as our friend of negative polarity to intensify. These psychic greetings can become great opportunities to heal those lapses of harmony and to move even further and faster upon the evolutionary journey, because what such a negative entity is actually doing when it intensifies one's disharmonious choices is pointing out to you weak points which you might have missed in your own conscious seeking. But one must take quick and thorough action in order to unravel these distortions in one's beingness, or further confusion and difficulty may ensue. Again, due to first, your original free will choice, second, the intensification of that choice by the negative entity, and third, by lack of attention on your part in finally resolving the distortion and balancing it. Fortunately, most people do not have to deal with the magical abilities of a fifth density entity, but with the lesser abilities of the fourth density minions, who are usually quite effective on their own. So this is just the first paragraph, and I want to make a couple of points here. The first one is that we're going to get into the question eventually, because it's at the end of this reading. But Jim's question was about feeling frustrated and angry, which is a quality in Jim, and we'll see why that's a quality, or a distortion of a quality, probably better to say it this way. And several things that I like to point out, because I often make the point that these supposed negative entities are there to point your weaknesses. They're not there attacking you. We can perceive it as an attack, but it doesn't make sense when you know that anything that seems negative to us offers us opportunities to grow. If we didn't have these negative opportunities or challenging opportunities, then we wouldn't be able to grow. So would we call these things negative in their own right? Yeah, perceivably at first it seems like that. But then you balance it with the opportunity of growth, and then, well, it's not even positive or negative anymore. It's just simply an aid for your own growth and evolution. So this is the reason why I emphasize a lot, because I see it still within the people that express opinions on this material. Not many, but still some few express the idea that we have to be careful with negative entities, that we have to defend ourselves and all these things. This seems like a limited approach to the opportunity that is given. And the dynamic here is that these negative opportunities, these negative expressions of ourselves, are there to show us the possibility for growth, for balance. So I like what Jim says here, and of course it resonates with my own view, which is that they are intensifying our disharmonious choices. And as he points out, first is your free will choice. That's the first thing. We first choose this. But the vast majority of us don't know that we choose subconsciously. And so we think that we are a product of something. Of course, you are a product of your own subconscious, but who's responsible for your own subconscious? It's you. So the free will choice starts with yourself. Then, of course, the universe will try to intensify that. And we can call that a negative entity or simply a negative tendency. Well, the universe has that resource. So as soon as you make a choice, the universe will reinforce it. And it is your discernment that is going to either intensify even more, buying into what is being given to you, or balance it and find the positive path. So really interesting approach to this, knowing that it's the negative entity that is intensifying his own choice, but taking charge of it. Jim is taking responsibility for it, and I appreciate that. That's beautifully, beautifully said. Okay, so Jim continues and says, "Thus, as Carla was finally getting rid of the effects of the intensification of her Blu-ray blockage concerning renting and then cleaning the house next to the airport in Atlanta, I began to notice an increase in my pre-incarnatively chosen distortion of anger, frustration." Notice the fundamental principle in Ross' first sentence in response to my question. And again, we'll get to that. All of our distortions, and thus all of our learning, are the result of the limitation of the viewpoint. We limit our points of view consciously or unconsciously, pre-incarnatively or during the incarnation, in order to gain a certain bias that may then draw onto it the opposite bias and offer us opportunity for balance. By being able to see each bias as an opportunity for the Creator to know itself, and for us to know ourselves as the Creator, we more and more become able to accept ourselves. We become able to find love and acceptance, not only in ourselves, but in others who share our characteristics. And our viewpoint is widened by our efforts to learn and to serve. Such growth is not possible without biases or distortions. And these biases and distortions are not possible without the choice to limit the viewpoint in one way or another. So we determine what lessons and services we shall attempt during incarnation by the way in which we limit our viewpoint. Another interesting point to note here is that whatever one's basic nature is, whether it be love, wisdom, power, or some blend of these three, one does well to express that nature in a regularized fashion. So does one become a channel for it, not by holding on to it, but by giving it away. So here Jim is giving the teaching of how to balance this, and how we, when we experience something, we are offered the opportunity to contemplate its opposite. And when our viewpoint is narrowed in a way that we always see the same thing, it's because we haven't considered the opposite, and we haven't contemplated the possibility of balancing it with another. So, and in this case, anger and frustration is something that we experience a lot, So there is an offering of love and compassion. We're not seeing it. And so we kind of create this constriction in view so we can know more fully ourselves. We cannot know ourselves by knowing just one point, one extreme of the expression, because it's not really ourselves, it's just an expression that the self is doing. Put it this way, you are a long list of expressions, and those expressions have some tendency to go to the extreme. But the more you balance all of these expressions with its opposite, which doesn't mean that you have to explore and enact those, but just know it, and know that that is the true opposite of what you're being expressed, then you are in full view of a balanced expression, you see? And that's what, in essence, Jim is talking about here. It's very helpful. He does talk about love, wisdom, power. Those are our combinations of expression. And it's important to express that in a regularized fashion. Something that Ra is going to mention in said question. Sometimes we can get into our personality and think that what we are, you know, we have emotions of shame or regret or insufficiency or these kind of emotions attached to our expression. Well, these things need to obviously clear out, because our expression is really what we are, what we are here to give. And whatever that, let's call it, characteristic is, so say it's a loving being, if you're really loving, that's your characteristic, that's what you're here to offer. If it's wisdom, if it's knowledge, then that's what you're here to offer, and you should embody that. But this is all process, of course, of development, and we can only develop by knowing which are the expressions that are not being balanced. So I'm going to finish Jim. I'm not going to read Carla's, because Carla's is just more of a description of... it's more of a general take on their situation, her physical and all that. So you can read it. I mean, I just wanted to emphasize Jim's point of view, because he's the one who asked the question and he gave a really, really good answer here. So finishing up with Jim, he says, again, we see another purpose of anger or opportunity that it might present to one expressing it. Being the polar opposite of love, it may attract that love and compassion to the person feeling it. Remorse and sorrow often attract love and compassion to a positive seeker who has experienced a great deal of anger. Anger may also be seen as the negative expression of power, that is, destruction and separation, with the positive side being construction and unification. So it is not necessary to repress or overcome qualities in our being which seem negative and hurtful, but rather to see them as potentials for achieving balance. When these negative qualities are followed to their source, they can enable the seeker to take advantage of the opportunities for knowing the self, the creator, and the creation as portions of a complete unity. Ra's last sentence underscores this point. For the last time, I'm saying we're going to read that question, because he's making mentions of it and references to. So again, I think I already talked about this. This is the way in which we can perceive what this anger and frustration is and how it can be balanced. Ra is going to give some indications to Jim as to how to do this. I think they're pretty much across all of us recommended, I guess. We'll get to that. But yeah, this is the last commentary that I'll say, is that that's what it is. You know, all of this is presented to us so we can achieve that balance, because in that balance is where the full knowledge is of yourself. And now you can start empathizing with more people that are undergoing this process. And this is why, if you resolve yourself, you become the teacher of others who are on the same path. And that's what we're all here to do, whether that be, you know, in a setting with a group or with your family or at work or in any other place. It's just to show that space and compassion for understanding everybody and really anybody. That's the work of the adept. But okay, we can now begin our session, because what we have is about 5 questions, I think. So let me go to my slides. Here we go. And the first question that we have is Don saying, would you please give me the condition of the instrument? Ra says, this instrument's physical deficit continues but has the potential for the lessening due to the removal in your probable future of foodstuffs to which the instrument has significant allergy. The vital energy levels are somewhat lessened than the last asking, but remain strong. The change in the mental emotional energy level is towards the distortion of the weakening of this complex. And Ra, or Don, says, what are the foodstuffs that are creating the allergic reaction? And Ra says, that which you call the buttermilk, though appropriately used in the healing work undertaken for the throat and chest areas, is the substance to which the entity has allergy. So, by the way, this session is the first one that I think took the longest in between, meaning that session 98 was, I think, in September, and this was in November, so it took them a couple of months to do the next session. And after this, you're going to see that they are, they take longer and longer to do sessions, to the point that this is still 1982, November 1982. Remember that it hasn't been 2 years since, it's been a year and, let's say, 10 months since they began the Ra contact, and they have done 99 sessions. Well, the next 7 sessions are going to be between almost the same time, a year and 4 or 5 months, something like that. So yeah, the next 5 sessions are going to be spread out across these months and year and change. But okay, Carla still has some allergies. This is due to buttermilk, but apparently Ra suggested that she would consume buttermilk, I think it was, as part of her treatment for the throat allergy, infection, whatever she had. And so even though it was helpful for healing, she's allergic to it. So I'm not sure how that worked, to be honest. Maybe it wasn't because of the allergic, but because of the contribution that it did metabolically in her body. I'm not sure. But yeah, that's the situation. What else did they say at the beginning? No, if she removes this, then she would probably increase her physical energies. The vital energies are somewhat lessened, and the change in mental emotional energy, I think this is due to there's a weakening in the mental emotional, because they're still dealing with the house. So at this point, they're still dealing with the moving, and are they going to move into the new house, and that whole discussion that was a bit of a chaos between the three of them. I think that's the reason why Jim was feeling angry and frustrated, and Don, of course, was starting to show those mental declines. So we can see the deterioration of the contact at this point, and that's why more and more it goes into personal material as they try to salvage whatever they can from their situation. But again, I think I want to make mention that Jim said it in what I read, that they were dealing with a fifth density negative entity, something that we will never actually have to do, I assume safely, because it is, this points out to something very important to me. The reason why we want to engage in gradual training for the lessening of our distortions is because if we are in a state, and we can call this a training of the nervous system, I'm going to use that because it feels closer to home to me. But if you have a nervous system that hasn't been trained to sustain the energy of this information, and let me refine the word information into knowledge, right? This doesn't have to be through studying a verbal or written material, but just becoming more aware of things. I've seen over time people, and I have had this experience too, where too much real information about reality is given, and then their nervous systems, and I'm still going to call it nervous system, but it should be called something else, maybe the energy system in general, not just the nervous system. The nervous system is it's an analog for the physical body, but the energy system is overloaded, and that causes a lot of distortions, and it causes confusion, might be the right word. People are dispersed in their activities. Like I said, I have the privilege of being in a point where I can talk and communicate with people around the world in different situations, and I see all these things. Those who have taken an approach that is much more compassionate with their own body and mind, they grow exponentially. But it seems it seems more, what's the word that I'm using? It's more tender with yourself. And that's because we are dealing with influences and the offering of, let's say, positive and negative entities is a little bit more balanced and more digestible. Whereas people who subject themselves to particularly psychedelics in this era, or any substance that they continue to use over and over, you know, for the seeking of this state, it begins to bring imbalances. This is what I have noticed within myself, primarily, and then see in others, where you start to take this gradual approach. And I think this is one aspect, and is the fact that we are opening ourselves to something that we may not have a, let's say, an experience. And even all of this, the way I'm saying it, it's still limited. I hope you can get the point, because it's not that we need to get a lot of experience in one point. It's just that we gradually condition the body and the mind for higher and higher knowledge. And this is through inner work, through the balancing of your own emotions, to the dissolving or dissolution of the egoic tendency of association with thoughts and patterns, and by healing the past. And all this work, what we call spiritual work, it needs to be gradual. It needs to also be compassionate. There are many things. And so I think this is one of those aspects, that fifth density or higher density entities maybe trying to offer their service, even positive ones who overload you with, you know, views of reality that are beyond this, they really can affect, you know, the body mind. So I personally appreciate the gradual process, and again, more compassionate and tender approach to spiritual work, as opposed to some of the intense and just drastic ways that we're finding to shock our body and our mind. And this could be with many things, you know, finding information and then wanting to change your life completely. There is a warning from Ra at some point, and they were talking about Hitler, actually, when they said that it's important to not try to activate the higher energy centers with haste. Just take it slow, you know? But also, this is exacerbated by our modern mind that wants things now, that is conditioned to absorb information fast and often, and that may not be the way. That may be very disturbing. We need time, but also every time schedule, every people's schedule is different, so I don't want to speak for everybody. In any case, let's continue before I keep digressing. Don says in question 3, the instrument asks if it will be all right to keep the small gold cross on while she is in one of these sessions, or will it cause some distortion that is not advisable? And Ra says, we scan the mental distortions of the instrument. Although the presence of the metallic substance is, in general, not recommended in this instance, as we find those distortions weakening the mental-emotional complex of the instrument due to its empathic distortions, the figure is specifically recommended for use by this instrument. We would request that should any strengthening be done to the chain, as we find intended by this instrument, the strengthening links, which symbolize eternity to this instrument, be as high in purity or higher than the remainder of the device. In this nexus, that which this device represents to this instrument is a much needed strengthener of the mental-emotional patterns which have been much disrupted from the usual configuration of distortions. Okay, so all of this is because Carla wanted to wear a golden cross, and that cross had, she was intending to repair it or strengthening it, maybe add more links to it, I'm not sure, but Ra said, not only is it fine that she can wear it, although the metal may cause some disruptions, and I'm not sure how this works, because this is metaphysics, and I am not a metaphysician, but metal can cause disruptions, and I know that Ra actually mentioned that for building a pyramid, it's not good to use certain metals, so there's something about that in terms of the disruption of energy, perhaps, I'm not sure, but yeah, do not worry about that, because for her it was more important. So this is a very crucial point for me, not only in terms of physical things that we have, but environments and just anything around us. Sometimes there is a guideline that tells you, this is good, this is bad, you shouldn't wear this, you should wear that, and so on. I've always felt that whatever it is that you want to have around you, if it makes you feel, you know, if it feeds your vital energies, if it makes you feel more comfortable, in harmony, just happy with things, then why not? You know? I'll give you an example of this. Music, for example. Remember, somebody writing to me not long ago that I mentioned something about metal, like heavy metal, and that was negative to listen to it. I'm not sure if I said that. If I said it, I would be very cynical, because I actually grew up listening to metal and I like it. Rammstein being my favorite band from Germany, and you can just imagine that. They still are in my heart. And, you know, metal does have an expression of anger, of things not said. You know, it's, I find often that the planet finds its ways to release some repressions. And I'm going a little bit on a tangent here, but bear with me, because this applies to anything, really. It could be shows that you watch, it could be things that people are saying, no, that's low energy, you know, it's going to repress this or depress whatever. Maybe. But going back to metal music, if you listen to it, you know that there is, you know, there's a discordant, it's not really peaceful, you know, it's not something that suits you, of course. You know, metal is supposed to express that frustration and anger, speaking of frustration and anger. So, is it negative? No, it isn't. Is it destructive? Yes, because that's what it is. It's not in all cases, of course. There are, I'm generalizing here, but you get the point. And it's not destructive in itself. It's just that the energy is very strong. You know, it's a very heavy, and usually, you know, the lyrics and everything else. But I love it. You know, it's an expression. It's and in many ways, it's the contrast to what some of the music has become, which is sort of like covering over the emotions that society is living. So everything has its place, and it's fine. So what's my point here? That if you listen to music and you have heard that, oh, some music is terrible because of this or that. In fact, I remember, if I can go even on a more tangent here, how far do I want to tell this story? Okay, so there's somebody who I deem to be relatively wise. I didn't follow her her work at all. Very popular person. And I remember sending her a song, and it was a techno, trance, electronic dance music. And the lyrics are beautiful, because they're basically, you know, saying "Just Be" by Tiesto, by the way. And I sent her this, and her response was that I was becoming too, what was the word? I was becoming too feminine, right? I was becoming too feminine, and that my non-dual approach to things were softening me and weakening me, and I had no idea that that was going to be the reaction. And that this music, especially Tiesto, was aligned with the devil or devilish things. And I experienced a catalyst from years ago of, you know, the church telling me what's wrong and what's right. And she began expressing her own fears. It's really what it is. You know, her own fears were that this music, it's going to make you dumb or whatever. And I experienced, that wasn't the end of it, by the way. It was very, very long unloading of her fears onto me. And I remember at that moment saying, what? What are you talking about? So, yeah, you know, people can have this association with things, and that doesn't necessarily mean that certain things are evil or bad. It's just that, you know, that's what might be, you know, for some. Doesn't have to apply to everybody. So again, in this case, Carla wanted to wear the cross. Was it detrimental to the contact? Of course it was, because of the metal, and she was wearing it while in trance. But because it made her feel emotionally safer, and just, you can imagine the feeling of wearing something. It's like, you know, when somebody leaves you something and you cherish it, and that reminds you of that person, you know, that feeling, that's better than whatever it can cause physically, directly, you know? So if you can extrapolate that and apply it to everything else in your life, then you can see that there is no such thing as bad, evil, or detrimental in itself. It's just the value that you put on it. And that's more important than anything that it could be. So Ra says that you can use it, you're fine. And it's okay. Now, in terms of strengthening it, they said to use, in essence, I think, pure gold, or purer than whatever, I forgot the word that we use in English for. Type it in the comments if you know. I know in Spanish we say quilates, which means the purity of the gold, which it can be that pure because it can snap easily. So we usually combine it with something else. But again, I'm not a jeweler. So yeah, that's it about that. Next question. Don says, question 4, is there anything further that needs to be done for or by the instrument to remove the magical working or any of its after effects on her throat area by our fifth density negative companion? And Ra says no. So yep, they're doing everything that they can and it's fine. Question 5, and this will bring our episode to an end. This is the one question that we talked about in the commentary by Jim. Don says, finally, of the preliminary questions, one from Jim stating, for the last 3 weeks, I have often been at the edge of anger and frustration, have had nearly constant dull pain at my indigo ray center, and have felt quite drained of energy. Would Ra comment on the source of these experiences and any thoughts or actions that might alleviate it? So here we go. Ra says, as in all distortions, the source is the limit of the viewpoint. We may, without serious infringement, suggest 3 courses of behavior which shall operate upon the distortion expressed. So here is where we find one of the lines that Jim referenced at the beginning in his commentary, and is that in all distortions, the source is the limit of the viewpoint. It's a very powerful insight, because in any distortion that we have, whatever preference, whatever inclination, bias, the source, what is the source here? You. You are the limit of, the source is the limit of the viewpoint. You are the limit of the viewpoint. Meaning that if your viewpoint is, of course, restricted to one behavior, right? This behavior will repeat itself if you don't see and seek the balance. So by you understanding that it's you, right, that is the limit of the viewpoint, if you see that, then you open, of course, the possibility for new information to see, okay, what else is there? If there's a limit there, if that's not the way of reacting, then what other ways are? This opens up a beautiful exploration, I have to say, because what happens, and this is from my experience, right? If I'm feeling frustrated, and I'll give an example of myself, I feel frustrated about something. Well, I find out that I have a story behind the frustration. There is a narrative in my mind that is telling me reality is this, right? And it puts me in a position where I am a victim, right? Where I am I'm unable to do things, and this starts to build up frustration and so on. So I become interested in the story, and I say, okay, let's see what the story says. And I follow the story, and it says many things, and I say, well, that's interesting. Then my discernment kicks in and says, if that's true, that's a miserable life. If that's true, then you are a miserable being, and all these things. Discernment and awareness starts to kick in, and you begin to see that the story has so many flaws. You see, and maybe at the bottom of this frustration is the fact that I wanted to do something, you see, but that desire to do something was completely distorted by the story in which the situation was terrible, I was miserable, and so on. And I begin to see more and more and more of the mental patterns, the thought patterns that are telling me or informing my reality. See, and so my viewpoint begins to enlarge itself, and now I begin to see more things. And now I say, well, let me see if I react this way. Oh, then another story kicks in and says, oh, if you do that, then you're going to be weak, or you're going to be stupid, or you're going to be vulnerable, or blah, blah, blah. And then I hear that story, and okay, that's interesting. So that's what you're telling me. If I react in a different way of what's being toxic for myself, then I'm going to have even worse things, and that's why. So I understand that this is just a defense mechanism to keep me in the loop. Ah, fascinating, right? So I don't need to necessarily react in a different way. It's just that contemplating it reveals even more about it. It becomes really fascinating to just listen to your mind. And so that's the limit of the viewpoint in all distortions, as Ross says. And we can keep going and going and going. This is what it's called knowing yourself. You see, it's the second aspect of knowing yourself. You cannot know yourself, of course, to me, from the mind, because the mind is the one creating these thought patterns. So you have to take a step back and first know yourself truly as you are, or what you are, the presence of awareness. And then you can see this is the second step of knowing or accepting yourself. And you accept everything that's coming. In any case, it's a long discussion, but I wanted to mention the relative importance of knowing this. So, okay, what are the suggestions that Ra is going to give here? They say, firstly, it would be well for the scribe to engage, if not daily, then as nearly so as possible, in a solitary, strenuous activity which brings this entity to the true physical weariness. Further, although any activity may suffice, an activity chosen for its intended service to the harmony of the group would be quite efficacious. So, the first indication here, or recommendation, is that Jim exerts himself in a physical activity to the point that he becomes physically exhausted. This is a good way to drain physical energy that is, of course, I'm not going to say trapped there, but accumulated in the body. This is why some of us, at least I do, I have the affinity for lifting weights. And to me, that's something that allows energy that may be built in there just to move, just like opening the windows in your house. Air may flow and refresh itself. So something like that. It has a physical activity has an important place in our well-being, of course. And that's just on the mental aspect. Physically, I won't even talk about that. So if this activity is of aid or service to others, I guess in the house, then that would be efficacious because it's contributing to the harmony of others there, and Jim can benefit from that too. So that's the first thing, true physical weariness, achieving that. The second one is activity in some of your space-time and time-space taken by the entity directly or as nearly so as possible to the strenuous activity for solitary contemplation. Thirdly, the enthusiastic pursuit of the balancing and silent meditations cannot be deleted from the list of helpful activities for this entity. So, I believe that what they mean here, because they say directly or as nearly as possible to the physical activity. So, I think this is after he's exhausted from, like when he's really tired from all the work, sit down and contemplate. This is actually a practice that is before registered records of our modern history, prehistoric probably, because we're humans. We like to move, we like to do things, and we like to stress the body. So we like, this is why we have so many activities and traditions and cultures that are dancing or some physical, not normally it's dancing because it's fun and it's more aligned with anything in the universe, it's music. Music is the nonsense in which everything moves, right? Everything is musical. Everything is harmony and dancing and melodic in its activity. Speaking of music, this episode. But I think this is what they're suggesting. In fact, it reminded me of a place here in the Americas, I think it was in the United States, where they found it was this building, and this was thousands of years ago, of course, before being colonized. And the natives here, they created, I'm pretty sure it was here in North America, the natives built this stone cave or built around the stones in a way that the acoustics of it, when they dance and I guess drummed and created this this resonance inside, it was to the point of exerting themselves not only through the dancing but also by the resonance of the movement of the dancing and the drums and whatever else they were chanting and so on, that they would enter literally a state of exhaustion and then a trance state. So, I mean, this is, of course, some extreme activity to do that. Holotropic, is it holotropic or holotrophic? Holotropic breathing, I'm gonna go with that. That also is a similar way of exerting yourself through breathing and pumping oxygen into your body and the building of, you know, this exchange between carbon dioxide and oxygen. And eventually you enter the state in which, you know, your body is contracting and, you know, it can contract at any rate and so on. So these are activities that produce a certain state of trance. Now, Ra is not suggesting that, but it is in the same line. You know, you exert yourself to a certain point, and then when the body is so drained, your mind is free, you know. Another example of this is fasting. Fasting reduces the energy in your body. Now, this is through a different type of exhaustion, and metabolic processes start to kick in your body, which is, you know, reduce energy, more focus, and survival mode, you know. What does fasting do? It creates this sharpness of perception. Fascinating, right? So yeah, all of these things are in the same line of what Ra is suggesting here, and the silent meditations can definitely not be removed from this list, as Ra says. More from Ra, and we'll finish. Ra says, we may note that the great forte of the scribe is summed in the inadequate sound vibration complex power, The flow of power, just as the flow of love or wisdom, is enabled not by the chary conserver of its use, but by the constant user. The physical manifestation of power being either constructive or destructive, strenuous activity. The power-filled entity must needs exercise that manifestation. And they finish saying, this entity experiences a distortion in the direction of an excess of stored energy. It is well to know the self and to guard and use those attributes which the self has provided for its learning and its service. So with that, we finish Ra's suggestions to Jim. A couple of more things to take out before we end the session or this episode. So Jim's particular forte was that which we call power. I see power as an expression of being, and that expression being very intense. This is to me very third chakra, you know, that which provides energy to the heart, right? Because the lower energy centers are there for a basic function, and then as a provided of prana to the heart, if you will. So that power, when it's misdirected, can be destructive. And that is the negative side of it, which Jim commented. So that flow of power is that beingness that wants to express itself coherently. Now, this power can actually be manipulated, right, and subdued and controlled for the negative side. I won't speak of that because I'm not fully versed on how that's done, but I can imagine that that's the power that, you know, energizes the whole system for it to skip the heart and go straight into indigo ray. But that power on the positive path is to bring it to the heart. What does that mean in practice? Allow that strong part of yourself, in this case, Jim, to inform the heart, to just allow it to the heart in these practices. I am mostly, I have an affinity mostly with Oriental philosophy and their practices, which is more of silence and appreciation of the mind, observing the mind, learning from this silence. And I feel that this is something that happens directly without any effort as you allow things to be, because you're not using, you know, physicality to express yourself, but to allow the expression of yourself to be. And this informs the heart. So the physical manifestation of power, as Ra says, is being either constructive or destructive, and that to me is, you know, it's the positive and negative. So that's that. And then they say that he tends to have an excess of stored energy. And so it is important to know the self and to guard and use those attributes which the self has provided for its learning and its service. So much can be said here, because this this knowledge of self is, again, alluding to what is my life work. I can see from now that this is the life work of my existence here, which is the knowledge of self. Know yourself. It seems like a simple thing. Okay, yes, I know myself now. What next? No, you don't. Keep knowing yourself. You can never know yourself, so you can be occupied all your life with trying to know yourself. And the more you do that, the more you actually broaden this viewpoint that Ra is saying. So it is well to know the self and to guard and use those attributes which the self has provided for its learning and its service. Two key things, you see, learning and service. What you learn is what you are able to serve with. So these are attributes, all the things that you think are wrong with you, those are attributes that you haven't balanced. And because you haven't balanced, then you think that they're wrong and you need to get rid of them. And guess what? Repress them all you want, they're going to keep coming. And they're going to keep coming with a vengeance, so to speak. Stop repressing it. Start knowing it. Conclusions. I'm going to piggyback on this work that we do. And this spiritual work has to do with first establishing the true knower of experience, which is you. Okay, first establish yourself. When you establish yourself as the awareness of experience, it's almost like you're disinterested in what's happening. And when I use the word disinterested, is in the sense that you're not being invested in whatever is happening in your mind, but you're also not rejecting it. You see, we grew up with the idea that things come to us and we have to either accept it, meaning, you know, get on top of it and navigate it, or reject it. Observation is not a thing that we were taught. So that's what we need to do now. You're going to see that there is a natural tendency to either repress or to invest yourself in it. That's fine. Allow it to be. But once you invest yourself, you're lost. You're within the story, like I described before. And when you repress it or reject it, then guess what? You lost the opportunity. You have to wait until it comes back. But by allowing yourself to simply experience it as it is, without wanting to change it or repress it, control it, and so on, a different panorama is open to you. And you begin to navigate and see and discern many things. And all of this just becomes like a rich environment in which you can feel yourself and know yourself in. The landscape of your mind is much more known. And this is truly what it is. I mean, there is no other practice. All other practices point to this. This is what we call meditation. Ego dissolution, the same thing. It's a byproduct of knowing your place. Know your place. Know yourself, know your place. Your place is to experience things, not to be invested, not to reject them, just to experience them and learn from them. From that learning comes the service. That is your service. So that's the path. All other paths and practices are based upon this basic premise. They're just more adorned and complex ways of doing this, because some people like complexity. And so go ahead, do the complex part. But the simple premise can also be understood, and you don't need the complexities. That's what I'm all about. I have been doing this for a couple of years already, since I began to see the results that I've had out of the confusion and frustration that I myself had. I can relate a lot to Jim, actually, with frustration, because that's been me. And this teaching of the direct path completely shifted everything in me. So that's what I do. If you're interested in knowing more of what I do, go to Instagram. That's where you can contact me and we can chat about this. Because my devotion is to find wherever you are, not to give you a teaching. Oh, I learned this, now you're going to learn it. No, it's to find whatever you are and show you how this understanding, which is yours, is your understanding, can actually help you to resolve whatever obstacles and hurdles you still have in front of you that you're still battling with, cycling. And no matter how much you try, you're still coming back. Well, this is the fundamental part of spiritual practice. It is the knowledge of self. It's the disciplines of the personality that Ra describes here. And so that's why I'm so devoted and completely dedicated to this teaching. Again, Instagram is where you can contact me. I have nothing else to say, but thank you for following me all the way up to here. We have more Archetypical Mind finally, after all the material stuff. And it's going to be a sort of long session, so we'll see if we can finish it in the next episode. Have a good day, good night, whatever you are, and I'll see you in part 2 of session 99.